Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. We are here with Chris. You can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge, although he won't be tweeting anymore because he has hit the sweet spot of 666 tweets. So he won't be tweeting ever again, but you could probably still follow him just so you can make fun of him.
No, I did. I tweeted.
Oh, so he already ruined it. Never mind. Don't follow him now because he's rude. And again, once again, we are joined by Damian, who you can find on Twitter at Damian Johnston. Our number one for the week was Victory City on IDW by Keith Carmack and Vincent Nappy.
Victory Records by...
Sure.
Totally awesomeness. And our over-under for the week is Discontinued Snack Foods. And I was thinking about this earlier. I know exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to be like, oh, and our over-under is Expired Foods. And I'm like, wait, that's just not going to work. So I had to make sure I read it correctly there. Nailed it.
You know, hearing you say Victory City, I can picture Victory Records doing some cheesy side business or something called Victory City.
Right.
Like opening up a club for shows called Victory City. Or putting out a really bad, like, double LP compilation called Victory City.
Or each band is its own, like, superhero slash villain group, and they fight each other every week.
Or opening up a record store and calling it Victory City.
Ooh, there you go. So they're villains and heroes. They fight each other, and all of the words in the comics are lyrics from their songs. That would be something they would totally do.
I thought you were going to say amazing.
I can see Tony as a real estate developer, start building condos, have like a path of resistance building and first price building.
Come to our new development.
I just remember there was this interview with him like 6-7 years ago that was just so hilarious. Like, I could probably believe 15% of it. And it's just like these hilarious photos of him in these boxing poses. And I was like, what is this?
What?
It was for some like business magazine. It wasn't even for a music magazine. It was for like Business Insider or something. He was like rated one of the top independent small business owners or something weird like that. And there was all these pictures of him dressed like a greaser from the 50s. And he had like these boxing poses and all these pictures with him making these faces with his fist in the air. And he was talking about how he loves to jog and listen to bands like Between the Buried and Me. I'm like, no, you don't. You would never listen to that band. I don't even know. I know why you signed them. They're huge and they make a ton of money, but
yeah,
the guy listens to like rockabilly.
Yeah, I was gonna say he signed a lot of rockabilly back a while back, didn't he? That's just
not
probably where he got the whole greaser look from.
Not anything good.
He signed
High Five and the Roadburners was that first one. And I remember we all were like, "What?" And then I mean, that's what Tony's into though. I've known that guy for a while. He loves that shit.
Name dropper. Oh, I mean, I totally know that guy.
It's been 13 years since I saw him last. So it was at Fireside Bowl, and he wasn't there to see my band. He was there to shoot pool, and he ended up buying me drinks all night, and it was great.
Never understood that weird little pool room that some of the people would just go and hang out in. Like, it seems an odd place to shoot pool if you're not into any of the music.
It just had the one pool table, too, right?
I think so.
Yeah, one
or two.
And it was, I think it only had three legs and
yeah,
six balls.
Yeah, it was weird. That was a great place, though, man.
I agree. Although that was the site of my last hardcore show forever and ever and ever.
That you played?
No, the band I was in had just ended, and I went to see a show there, and just for me personally, like, the scene here had changed so drastically in such a short period of time, I just felt completely out of place. So I just decided
that
I was
the Drowning Man Glassjaw show?
Yep. This town just turned super thugcore overnight, and I felt super out of place, so I just decided I was done, and that was it.
Well, it's because you fell behind in your karate classes. I mean, how are you going to keep up?
No, I was talking more like skinhead thug type stuff. Anyway, no, another story for another day.
Yeah.
I suppose. All right, so, did I forget anything? Did I leave anything out?
Yeah, and Drowning Man sucked that day, too.
Nailed it. Some more people we're not going to have on the show now. Thanks, Chris.
Hey, I like Drowning Man, but they were terrible at that show.
It should be funny.
Yeah, oh yeah, we also do have this this little tiny review site we do. So yeah, review and roast. If you guys want to read some of our movie reviews and stuff, that'd be...
You read my old New Age record reviews on
Yeah, no, let's see. You reviewed Godzilla in Hell number one, and it was, this thing is fucking awesome. I mean, come on. It's Godzilla, and he's in hell. And then there was a couple others, I don't remember. Because you were super pumped about it, and then we finally got the site up, and you never sent anything in. And then you finally sent like two or three things in, and it's been a dead stop ever since.
I got a sense of
more. Yeah, I mean, I'm
just saying. Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
And let's see. As per usual, I read the number one, and that's it. But a lot of that reason is because I'm trying to finish the novel that I'm in, so I read a whole bunch of chapters in that this week. So
there's a novel that you're in?
I wish. I mean, I put myself in every novel that I read, which is kind of cool, but sometimes, like this one, the main character is a woman, and I just feel weird every time I put myself in her spot. But especially when she's flirting with dudes, it's like, this just feels wrong. But anywho.
Somebody's uncomfortable with themselves.
Well, I guess that's another conversation for another podcast. Man, we got to stack up a lot of podcasts here.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's really all I've been up to this week. So, Brian, go.
Has anyone seen that book, We Can Never Go Home?
Yes, I had the first issue.
On the Black Mask, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've not read it, but I've heard it is good.
It is actually very good. Someone described it as true romance crossed with something else. About this girl who's got super strength, but only when she gets really angry. And she's like the most popular girl in their high school. And she ends up pairing up with this guy named Marcus, I believe.
The weird introvert punk dude.
Yeah, he introduces her to like Bad Brains and a couple other punk bands, and his thing is supposedly that he can kill people by wishing them dead. And she happens to come to his house while his dad is drunk and beating him up, and she ends up punching this kid's dad so hard that she kills him, so they decide they have to hit the road and disappear. So that's pretty much what the series is about, and along the way, he decides to exploit her powers, and he goes, oh, I know where this drug house is. We should go in there and rob it. So he gets her to go in the house, and he brings a gun in and holds it to the dealer's head while she starts breaking everything, looking for money and breaking in the safe, stealing bags of money. So
he can wish people dead, and he travels around with a teenage female Incredible Hulk.
I'm getting the impression that he lies a lot, and he doesn't have any superpowers. He just has a gun, and he's pretty much just white trash. But that is a pretty cool. It's actually, I mean, $9 trade. It's pretty reasonable. But I definitely recommend that. That's pretty good so far.
I'll check that out.
Hey, Scratchy Face, what about you? What'd you read?
Nothing.
Yes. Usually, I'm the only one. I'm loving this.
Well, the number one, yeah, but that's about it. Like, I didn't read anything this week. I think I read Cry Havoc, and I read East of West 23, and that was about it. Cry Havoc was okay. I'm taking Ninjak off my list.
Really?
Yeah.
Surprised to hear that. You always raved so much about it.
Well, the second arc is weird. And I don't like it.
Boo. Anything interesting on your plate?
Yeah, that's it.
I have been I've been continuing with my library reading, with all the catching up on all the Brubaker stuff, of course.
Excellent.
A couple Criminal Trades, which those I think are probably my favorite thing so far he's done. Any of that criminal world. I like all the how they all mix together, but they're all standalone.
Yeah.
It's great.
I have my fist in the air right now while you're saying all that, just so you know.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I'm a huge fan. I think I had mentioned this to Chris. I talked to him over Messenger. The one thing I kind of started to get a little sick of this week, and it's not Brubaker's fault, but I'm really starting to get a little sick about Lovecraft stuff. I think there should be like a, at least for me, like a good 6-month cleanse of any sort of Cthulhu world just for a little while. I think I've been reading too much. I read that Alan Moore's Neonomicon. which is, I don't know if you guys have read that, but it's really dark and really heavy on your soul. And then the next book I picked up, not knowing what it was Fatale, the first collection of Fatale, which was fantastic. But it was like immediately after that Neonomicon, I was like, you know what? I just need to back up from the, you know, creepy rich cult guys who do psychosexual torture stuff just for a little while. Like,
hits a little too close to home, I guess, or
it might. I don't know. Maybe it's bringing up some stuff. I can't really say.
You're not supposed to know about that.
I was into Fatale, especially the whole satanic Nazi stuff.
Oh, it seems great. I mean, I'm gonna read the other ones for sure. I thought it was fantastic. I just need to take a tiny break from that exact flavor, that tone, because Lovecraftian, what do you want to call it? It's really tonal. That's just a tonal feel, and it's very specific. And that's I think what I just need to take a tiny break from. I'm into the film noir. I'm into some of the fantastical stuff, and I don't know. I'm gonna bring some more of that into my life instead of this just really dark nihilistic horror existential dread. I guess is what I have. I've just filled up on existential dread this month.
But Criminal is.
Criminal's fantastic.
Oh,
it's
I was just trying to think of a proper word.
Perfect.
I didn't want to say awesome. It is awesome, but I was trying to be a little bit more adult in my.
Awesome's great. By the definition of awesome, it is quite there.
Yeah, I have to say, as far as the Lovecraftian overflow, I kind of felt the same way not too long ago, but it wasn't because I was reading a lot. It was just because it seemed like every board game I looked at was based on some kind of Lovecraft or Cthulhu, whether it was dice, board, card, you know, Cthulhu, sorry. It's like, all right, come on. This is ridiculous.
I was actually just going to bring that up.
Yeah, because, you know, we have a lot of, obviously, nerdy board games, and, you know, quite a few of them that we have are based on Cthulhu, and about 10 times more than that still exist in the store. It's like, all right, come on.
Yeah, it's cool, and I guess for a while it was unappreciated. It just... I don't know. I feel like I had my fill for a little while, so I'm gonna take a little break from that.
Yeah, I wouldn't continue on with Fatale then.
I'll get back to it. I mean, Brubaker's writing I think is so solid that it's kind of hard to avoid. But I'll give it at least a week or two before.
Yeah.
Try the Fade Out.
Yeah, I'd like to. I'm gonna pick that up too. But I'll tell you, I did read some stuff this week. I went on a search today for the number one. Because my store didn't have it. They'd sold out of it before I got to buy it. So I went to two other stores today that I don't normally go to. I'll tell you, there's the only... I said this to Chris on the messenger today. The only real danger to some of these comic stores that I went to that I don't normally go to that aren't doing so well is the way they lay those things out, man. Like, there's such a waste of space in there. I don't know. But anyway, I found myself being in a place long enough looking for that comic... Because it was the other two stores I went to were so organized in such a crazy way that, and I don't know, being from Seattle, I don't like talking to other people, so like, I didn't want to ask the guy where it might be until it got too late. But so I was in there long enough that it was awkward. I was like, well, I got to buy stuff. So I ended up buying, which all was great, of course. I ended up buying the number two of that Swamp Thing that we did the number one of a couple weeks ago, which is great. I got Ringside number three. Which I just finished a few minutes ago, which was also quite good, and which is becoming very much like a Get Shorty kind of comic. It's got that more...
I can see that.
I thought it was going to start off being more like Tarantino or like James Ellroy kind of like crime, but now I'm realizing it's a little bit more like Elmore Leonard crime. Like, it's a little more fun, and the characters are a little bit more, I don't know, just kind of silly almost, but that's great. And then I bought... a trade of one of my favorite things from last year that's also on Black Mask, which was Space Riders. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It's super crazy, and I love it.
I've only read Clandestino number one, which I didn't really like very much. We Can Never Go Home, which I'm loving so far, and this new book called Axed, which... I love the first issue, and the second one is missing in action, so I'm completely befuddled as to why they're taking so long, because it's a
Wasn't
really...
Wasn't Godkiller on Black Mask?
Yes.
I gotta read that one, and I only want to read that one because of the title.
You know what? I have issue number one here if you want to take it next time you're here.
God Killer?
Yeah, I don't even remember what it's about. That's like how much it did not impact my life. And the only reason I haven't put it on Amazon is because it's not on Amazon, and I don't feel like creating the page for it, you know?
Okay.
But yeah, you're more than welcome to take it next time you're here.
I'll do that then.
Well, I recommend you guys check out that Space Riders if you haven't.
I actually saw the trade of it last week, and it was intriguing to me, so I probably will put it on my short list of things to buy.
Yeah.
The problem with my short list is I have like four of them, and I get them all confused all the time.
Anyway, it's I can't say enough about it. The art looks like Paul Pope and Raymond Pettibone decided to get together and do a comic, and that's what I think I love the most about it. It's got this... Every panel like could have been... If Black Flag was like a weird science fiction band... Like, all the panels look like they could have been single 7-inch covers. The kid is awesome.
Sorry.
That's okay.
You have to say, I was a little disappointed when we were at the store the other day. I was looking for Ringside number 2, and because I knew 2 was already out, and apparently 3 came out, I'm assuming, yesterday. But, like, they didn't have anything. They had, like, a couple of number ones left, and that was it. So I don't know if it was just hugely popular or if no one bought one, and that's why they didn't get any number twos. Like, it was a little disappointing for me. I couldn't find it. But I agree. It's very weird going to a non-usual comic book store. You just feel like, this isn't my store. What am I doing here? It just doesn't feel right.
There was one store I went to. I haven't been there in a year and a half. I went there once or twice, but... The dude didn't even have his stuff like in alphabetical order.
Some people do it weird, man. I know. I'm pretty sure. Isn't it the one in the Grange? Don't they have it separated by company?
Yeah,
that's how he had it. He had it by company, but still, like, it still. I was like, dude, I'm not gonna sit here and look for this stuff.
Yeah, I'm still gonna have to look through everything. So you might as well just put it all together.
I buy it online. And just go and pick it up.
Yeah. You know, if you buy it online, you can just have it delivered to your front door, right?
Yeah, but then I'd have to pay for that.
Hmm. I get 2-day free shipping on Amazon, so nailed it.
Whatever. Well, I buy it online from the comic shop that I go to because I get, I get a discount, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be convenient.
If I was going to say, what did I... Did I talk about Postal last week? I think I did.
Yes, you did.
Oh. And had I... See, if I knew Damien was going to be on last week, I wouldn't have picked The Violent.
I thought you guys did great. I listened to it. It was good.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we had a little bit of an awkward Twitter conversation with Ed Brisson a couple nights ago.
Oh, really?
It was nothing big, but I happened to text Chris while I was chatting back and forth with Ed Brisson on Twitter. And I was like, oh, man, he's pissed. And he wasn't mad at all. But Chris, got on there. He's like, dude, I'm really sorry. It was me that said it. And he's like, dude, it's cool. Don't worry about it.
Wait, what part?
Yeah, you got to kind of elaborate here on this.
When I was starting to review or whatever, I had mentioned that his name was on Pisces. It was a comic that Image did last year. That thing's a pile of steaming something.
Yeah, I seem to remember you not liking it. I'd never heard of it.
It sounded cool. The concept sounded cool, but when I was reading it, I was just like, dude, I'm like, where is this going? It's like, it's not going anywhere. Logan, stop.
So he mentioned that Ed Brisson was involved, and he goes, and he tweeted me, and he goes, yeah, I just lettered that thing, dude. And then, with the little, smiley face at the end, and I was just like, okay, I don't know what to say to that. So I was just like... I forget what I said, but then I texted.
So Brian texts me like he's straight up mad, and I'm like.
And I'm laughing the entire time. This is the best part about it.
I just like the fact that he listened to our show.
I was pretty stoked that he listened to it.
I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah, he's great. He comes to my shop occasionally and does signings and stuff. Super cool guy.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Vancouver's not too far from Seattle, so it's a... not a big jaunt for him.
You can make sure to drop hints next time. Like, hey, man, I heard you were listening to my podcast. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
He'll be like, oh, that thing?
You guys will have to get him on.
Well, that sounds like a job for Damien, if you ask me.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have to get him on.
All right, I'll do it. He'll be number 2 on the list.
We're just racking up guests now. Nailed it.
Let's get the first one out of the way first.
Ooh, how about we get the number one out of the way? Boom.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Brian, you picked it. You lead us, lead the charge.
All right. I picked Victory City. It's on IDW, and it's from creators Keith Carmack and Vincent Nappy. Keith Carmack's the writer. Vincent Nappy's the artist. The cover is a dead giveaway that it's got that crime noir vibe to it, which always, you know, grabs my eye instantly. But I started flipping through this thing, and it's just got the craziest artwork that I've seen in a while. And it's kind of in the same vein as Ben Templesmith, but it looked even more, I hate to use the word sloppy, because the
it's
kinetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very
erratic.
Yeah, it's very frazzled. It's very almost like almost done like an artist sketch, like if you're doing like a courtroom sketch or something,
right.
Or like
scribbled with purpose.
Right. Everything makes sense, and everything's kind of done with this like these bluish and like kind of washed out greens and blues and like purple under coloring. I don't know.
Now,
I mean,
did you find the word bubbles becoming maybe just a little bit too
heavy handed?
Yeah.
No, not at all. I actually
maybe
thought
ineligible or not legible.
Illegible. No, I thought that was one of the strongest parts of the book because
no,
it gave
it.
Every
I mean,
character
it
their
gives
own.
You that feel, but I'm just saying, did you like maybe at times have problems like reading like what the heck is that word?
No,
no,
not
no,
at
no,
all.
No.
I like the font choices. I like the way each word bubble was drawn differently to differentiate each character as they were speaking or having their thoughts
yeah, that is
dictated.
Good.
I like the idea that it gave them almost their own. They almost got their own accent. You know.
Right. Exactly. Like yeah. Like you could tell like the main character his his font was a little washed out, so you can almost feel like he was kind of talking under his breath sometimes, whereas like his wife was really pronounced, so it felt like she was enunciating a lot more in their conversation. Like, you could just get this feeling, like, when she's talking to him, he's kind of just going, yeah, I don't know, whatever. I hate my job. I want to kill everybody. Just kind of this, like, beaten-down guy who's had these ideals, and then he gets into the job, and he sees the reality of it, and it's completely different, and it's just beating him down emotionally and mentally. But, ostensibly, it's just another hard-boiled cop drama kind of hard case police comic.
Yeah,
but
it's got a Seven yeah. sort of vibe that kind of you yeah, also they, get it, a little bit of the killer's perspective as well, which is cool.
Yeah, and it actually opens up in a diner where this fry cook is talking about, oh, my son comes home and I don't even know what to make this kid. He comes home from college and he's the pickiest eater and I don't know what to make him, and I make food for people all day long. And this serial killer, who you don't know he's the serial killer yet, but he launches into this diatribe about infanticide, which is actually my favorite part of the book, like right off the top. Because he just goes into one of those like Travis Bickle-style like stream of consciousness rants where he's just talking way over the person's head. And the person, you could tell the person's confused and nervous and they're like, what is he saying? Is he going to... And that's when you get that feeling like, this guy's got something real weird about him, and that's going to be the draw of this book. And it kind of goes mostly towards the cop. He's got this Steve McQueen vibe about him, and he's the good cop who wants to do the right thing, but his partner is extorting small business owners, and other cops are openly talking about their various nefarious doings, and he's just at the point where he's lost it all and he's ready to just quit and walk away or just take the reins and do something about it all. And he has a blow up with his partner towards the end of this issue where he explains that he does something. Or he brings his partner in, and his boss tells him to go on paid leave, and then his wife's like, well, what did you do then? He goes, something I should have done a long time ago. And then it ends where he's in the store behind the serial killer, and he follows the guy out, and the cop and him takes over, and that's kind of the end of the book, where he confronts this guy and goes, what's in the trunk? And then that's the end of the first issue. So it kind of it starts strong and then it kind of settles in the middle where it seems like just another hard-boiled cop drama, and then it ends kind of on a really vague high in a way. I don't know if that makes sense. That's kind of how I took it. What did you all think?
I'll go. I thought it ended at a point where I was really happy. Like, I, when it first started out, I mean, I did think some of, there were some choices that I thought were a little heavy-handed. I thought the bat, like the bad guy having like black bubbles and looking like the most evilest Nick Cave ever was a little too on the point for the bad guy. Like, he almost could have been like, twirling his. What's going on over there?
Sorry.
Oh my god, sounds like you're pouring Legos on your phone.
Right?
No, it's, I was saying, like, it almost seemed like he could be like twirling his mustache. He's so evil. But then, like, the
I almost spit my coffee.
Sorry. It's okay. I'm going. But then when the story kind of got going and I sort of got a handle on what was happening, it started to really ramp up for me. And then, yeah, then the way it ended, I was like, all right, well, crap, I got to read the next one. Like, this is going to, I'm pretty addicted to it now. And the art style, I agree. It was totally not what I expected. The cover I had isn't the Temple Smith cover. It was the other one. So I didn't, it just looked, just had that, like, kind of guy in a trench coat noir kind of thing, which I thought was great. But the style inside I thought was awesome. It had this kind of, like, Eddie Campbell, like, from Hell kind of
vibe. Exactly.
And it just gives you you immediately understand how dirty everything is, like how the environment that both the good guy and the bad guy live in are both just filthy, and they're both products of their environment, and this is the environment they're products of. So I thought that was cool. That was a great touch. My only other issue with this, my only slight little design issue with the bubbles, I actually thought they were a little big on the page, to be honest. In a couple places, like, I was like, wow, that word bubble doesn't have a lot of text in it, and it's fucking giant in that frame. But that's just a weird little nitpicky thing. I mean, aside from that, I was pretty, by the time I was over with it, I was like, all right, I'm pretty hooked now for whatever this arc is going to be. I don't know, I don't remember if it was going to be a mini series or
it's a four part
thing. It's a four part. Okay. Yeah.
Well, see, cool. Now that I know it's only a four-part, I probably will keep going, because initially I really, like, as much as I dig the artwork and, like, the story to me is just, like, it's an updated, grittier Serpico. You know, I mean, it's
they're not reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, it just seemed very done already, in my opinion, but if I know it's only four books, obviously they're going somewhere different with it, so, I mean, I'll stick it out.
I love Serpico.
Oh, I love Serpico, but I'd rather watch the movie, I guess.
I'm just saying.
Or I'd rather watch It's Always Sunny, where Charlie fries. Dresses up like Serpico. No? Nothing?
That one's whatever. Okay.
Whatever.
So, since you're trying to shave your face with your phone, do you have any thoughts on the book?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Nailed it.
Anything else there?
You pretty much already said what... I think you described it perfectly.
Actually, I think Damien actually stitched it together better than I did, but...
Okay, whatever. You both did.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I
mean...
I'm trying to be nice. Okay, fine. You want me to be honest? Okay, yes. Damien did do a better job.
Yeah, I mean, I liked... I'm a really big fan of that style of artwork, and I liked, like you guys
like
were
it.
Saying...
I think it fits the tone... It fits it. I mean, yeah, sure, you could say it's cliche, but what do you want it to be? Do you want all the colors to be vibrant, you know, violets,
yes.
And blues, and
I want
lavender,
flowers?
You know?
And...
I mean, it's what it is what it is. It's a crime story.
No, yeah, and that to
it's
me, it all fit
bright,
perfect. And I, you know,
and
with the different,
know, life.
The different lettering, the different fonts, the different colors used, the different
well, like
sizes
like
for
the
screaming,
everyone,
it was perfect.
People got like a different like font, because then you could actually tell. Who's saying what? Because, like in the last episode, how I mentioned Undertow, you couldn't tell what was going on with that. No pun intended.
Is that a pun?
Well, did you ever read the undertow on Image?
Did you sue them too
for that?
No, and I think you're talking about, I thought you were talking about the band. I was like, what?
No,
what,
not the band. There was a comic called Undertow on Image.
Oh no, I never read that.
Well, it was hard to decipher or not in what or who was who.
Oh, okay.
In that book, the art. I mean, there's comic books like that. I'm sure you've read them, but the fact in this one, going back to this one, Victory City, that he did those different bubbles. I mean, it was kind of like it was like crib notes, I guess. But I liked it. I liked it because it was easy to tell who was saying what. I know this person's saying that's this person is saying this, and that's just probably because of their erratic art style, which I don't have a problem with. I thought it was rad.
Yeah, it had a nice cinematic. It gives
Yeah, it gives you that feel that it's dark and it's gritty and it's after you read it you need to take a shower.
I don't know about that.
So we have a 4-issue series, and you just read the first one too. It's like judging an hour-long TV show,
before
the first commercial break. I mean, I think it's a good setup, and I'm intrigued to see what happens. But speaking of the various word bubbles, did you guys read Scud, the Disposable Assassin, in the 90s?
No.
So Rob Schraub is the guy who, like I said, directed a couple episodes of Community, and he's doing the next Lego movie. He used to do a comic in the 90s called Scud, the Disposable Assassin. And it's really weird and super funny and crazy. But the beginning of every episode, he gives you all the names of the characters, and then he gives you the celebrity voice you're supposed to imagine them having. So,
I've seen that in, I think, the trade. So I have to look at that when I go out this weekend.
Yeah, no, I've never even heard of it.
I've heard of it. I've never picked it up before, but now I'm curious.
It's great. Rob Schraub is super funny. I don't know if you guys ever listened to Harmontown or... Care About That World of Dan Harmon or Channel 101 or any of that stuff, but I'll send you links. You guys will love it.
Okay. I tried watching Community, and I thought it had its moments, but I think it was on around the same time as Parks and Rec, and for me, that show was so high up on my list that Community just didn't... Plus, I think I was under the impression that John Oliver was going to be on Community all the time. And he was only on two episodes, so that was kind of a bummer for me.
Yeah, he's been on probably 10, but it's over 6 seasons. So yeah, it's just he was great when he was on, but it's one of those shows that it's not always fair to the passive viewer because you really need to watch every single one in order to really get it all. Which is a weakness and a strength, because you can't just walk into the show halfway through the second season and really get it because everything's so self-referential. It's got a lot of that Arrested Development quality where jokes kind of span over seasons. In fact, there's a joke in Community where over the period of 3 seasons, at one point randomly a character says the word Beetlejuice over 66 episodes, and after the third time that someone says Beetlejuice, in the background real quickly you see someone walk by as Beetlejuice. Like I said, it really rewards the attentive. So, but anyway, we'll get back to that whole world later.
Okay.
I do.
No.
All right. Might as well number it.
Yeah, let's do that.
So why don't you go ahead? It's your pick.
First issue, like I said, it was a bit uneven, so I'll give it a 7.5, but I'm sticking with it for sure.
Yeah, I was going to probably give it only a 6.5, but I'm also going to... Now that I know it's only 4 issues, there's no harm in keeping to go. So, I mean, it was good enough to where I'm slightly interested to see what happens,
I'll say with my issues, I'll say 6.5, but I'm definitely going to read more, and that could totally change by the time it's done.
Yeah,
I agree.
I give it a solid 7.
Was that as you go up or down the stairs?
Shut up.
Anywho, next on the list, apparently there has been a lot of internet chatter about Amazon's brick and mortar stores. Apparently there was a lot of rumors that they were going to open.
Went and did some field work.
I did homework today. I went to one.
Ooh. That was actually why I put it on there, hoping that you would be on this week, because I wanted to ask you if you'd been there and what your thoughts were.
Okay.
Well, first off, I just want to point out that they have absolutely no plans on opening 300 or 400 more stores. That is completely rumors, and it's more like over the next 4 or 5 years, they're going to open maybe 10 or 12 more. They're not opening 400 stores. And I'll tell you right now, based on their business model, even if they open one here, I wouldn't even go. Because it's not going to be a bookstore. It's just going to be a store where they showcase their Kindles, the Fires, and stuff like that. And they're going to have, like, new release books. They're not going to have... It's not going to be a regular bookstore. They're just going to have, you know, some newer releases and their products. That's it.
Damien sent me pictures, and it looks like...
Yeah, sorry I didn't send you guys pictures. I should have done that. Sorry.
What's the name of that bookstore that you usually sell your stuff at, Brian? Scott?
Half Price Books.
Thank you. It looks like that place.
I mean, this is
like
just what I...
Like that place.
This is
the
what I listened...
Look like that place.
I listened to this on... I heard it on NPR yesterday, and then I read a little more into it today at work. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because you went to the store, but isn't it basically just, here's our products and here's some new releases?
Well, yeah, it's weird, man. It's a lot like a Barnes & Noble, like a smaller one, but it's actually kind of brilliant in some ways. Being from Seattle, there is a little bit of thing with Amazon is something that we sort of look at as the reason that Seattle is kind of sucks now. In fact, there's actually stickers all over the city that say, Seattle thanks now, thanks. Seattle sucks now, thanks to you. And under the thanks is the little like arrow with the Amazon A. It's supposed to look like a smiley face. And they're everywhere. So we look at it as the thing that's like driven up real estate costs. That's, you know, I mean, everyone loves density. I mean, density is always better than sprawl as far as, you know, the environment and economics and all that stuff goes. I mean, density is good, but essentially we're getting this kind of like development locust thing happening, which kind of harkens back to what you guys are talking about after reading about Ed Brisson's thing in The Violent last week.
Right.
That's happening. I mean, that's like I'm being forced out of my apartment. They sold my building this last week, and we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but
someone's coming to Chicago. Yeah.
just might. we got to figure out that. And a lot of that has to do with Amazon and that kind of stuff. But I mean, I got a dehumidifier sent to my apartment because my apartment is very moist, and I bought it off Amazon. So, and I'm looking at the box right now. It got sent here yesterday.
Yeah,
so I use them.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm a Prime member, and I shop as much as I possibly can on Amazon. But, I mean, I've heard about a lot of the shady things they do. Like, you know, they're warehouse employees that work 8 hours a day but then have to stand in line for 4 hours to leave to make sure they're not stealing anything. They have to go get patted down and stuff, and they don't get paid overtime for that. And I just try to block all that out because I like to shop online for free two-day shipping.
Yeah. I know, it's great. I mean, it's, you know, it's capitalism. Capitalism sucks because people are assholes. And when the revolution comes, I will eat Jeff Bezos' corpse. But, you know, until that happens, like, it has its uses, and it can be fine. So, yeah, so I went to the store today, and I walked out of there. I didn't buy anything, but I walked out of there sort of loving it a little bit, which I did not expect. I expected to very much think it was the worst thing ever. First of all, they do, as far as retail goes, the one thing that I wish every store did, if the store wants to like sell books, is they face all the books. Like all the books, you see the cover.
Nice.
Like if there's like they have the Saga graphic novels there, and they have the most recent one, and they have the first one faced, but all the other ones are like spine out. Okay. But you know they have those there. They have a big graphic novel section. They have them broken down into children and adults. So, you know, the section with Bone and the section with Saga, basically. And it's weird. I mean, it's super weird. You're supposed to do two things. One, you either take your phone, and like I said, I'll send you guys pictures. You can put them on the Twitter or whatever. But you take your phone and you scan a book, and it tells you what the price is. And the price always changes because it always changes on Amazon. Like, it says $35 on the back of the book, but you scan it, it's actually $22. And then they also, if you don't have your phone or you don't want to or whatever, they have scanners around the store which you walk up and just scan the barcode and it tells you what the price of that book is at that moment.
I read about that, and I was like, that sounds like just an annoyance, but now it makes sense because, yeah, the prices are always going to change.
Yeah, it's so, like okay. The idea of, like, price of something being fluid, I think, is kind of interesting to me. I don't know if it's good or bad. I mean, I've, you know, put out tapes and stuff on my little record label, and of course I'm going to put $6 on a tape or whatever and call it good. But the idea that like this could be worth $7 tomorrow or worth $2 tomorrow, like, it's interesting to me. It almost makes the whole world an open market. I don't know what the ramifications are of that. I'm sure they're sprawling, and I'm sure there's tons of negatives, but I find it interesting. I think if Amazon did decide to go ahead and put like a store in every major mall in the country, because that's where it is here. It's in our like kind of big city mall called the University Village, and it's this big outdoor monolith that constantly keeps growing. It's where like the Apple Store is and all that stuff. If they decided to do that, I think they would really clean up around Christmas. Because the thing about Amazon is that it's super convenient if you're not able to go to stores, but it's really good for buying stuff that's boring. Like, I bought a dehumidifier. I wasn't going to go shop for one. I wasn't going to go to Sears and talk to the guy about dehumidifiers.
Yeah, I just bought 100 padded envelopes, so nailed it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I bought, like, a bunch of blank plastic sleeves. Like, I don't care about that stuff. I'm not going to go to the blank plastic sleeve store. But, you know, comics and stuff, I mean, they sell novels. They don't sell any issues there. And I don't know if they could, because I was telling Chris they have magazines there as well. And I went and scanned the magazines. The magazines are just full price. Like, that's just what they cost. So I'm imagining if they did comic issues, that's what they would cost.
Most likely.
Yeah. So, but it was certainly fascinating. Like I said, I'm sure there's some ramifications about this that, I mean, I can see them. I can see people who own bookstores in the neighborhood being like, oh, fuck. Like, that was my thing. It's like, oh, you can go buy it on Amazon, or you can wander around my bookstore and discover it. You know, which is one of my favorite things about going to a store, going to a record store, bookstore, whatever. It's like, you go in there knowing what you want, probably, but usually the second I walk into a record store, especially, but sometimes bookstore, like, I immediately forget what it is I want. And I just sort of, like, wander around and discover stuff. And
right, but
that's always really cool.
Isn't there a lot less to discover at the Amazon store?
Yeah, I mean, it's curated, and it's curated by popular demand, and that's the other thing. Like, they have some toys there, like, for kids, but it says, like, toys 4.5 stars or above.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know, so it's like they use their Amazon ratings and put stuff there that people, like, think are great. So, you know, parents feel more confident, like, oh, my kid's going to like this because it was reviewed so highly. But that means, like, if you go by that, then that means that, you know, whatever's on the Oprah list is going to be, you know, considered the most popular book, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's the best book, and also doesn't necessarily mean the people that work there are going to know or care about it either. They're just, like, they're more there just to direct you to where the, like, the cash register is.
Yeah.
Like, I saw that actually a lot. Like, the older guy was, like, walking around some books, and he's like, do I come to you? And she's like, oh, no, over there. And it's, you know, this kind of nondescript counter.
That's a self-checkout you have to do online.
you might be able to. I have no idea. So, but they do have, like, traditional checkout.
I guess the most important question is, what kind of hot coffee-flavored beverages do they offer?
They don't, but the University Village Mall has, I think, 6 Starbucks in it.
Come on.
It's only about the size of one city block.
Are you serious?
My God.
There's 6.
I'm going to count real quick. 1, 2. There's a big one. There's 2 little ones on either end. There's 1 inside.
Well, I got to ask, is Voodoo Donuts all that great?
Well, they're from Portland.
Oh, sorry.
Voodoo Donuts. They are. Voodoo Donuts is good. They're the first people to put bacon on a maple bar.
And it's, oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
It's
really
good.
I think
that
place was in Seattle.
No, all that cool food stuff is in Portland.
Yeah. Portland's the Voodoo Donuts in Portland.
So
there's
is there
now.
Here's an even better question about your awesome mall now. Is there a Seattle's best coffee store?
I don't believe there is, but there is a few other coffee shops, too.
That just makes no sense that you have so many. Like, I've seen Starbucks across the street from each other in Chicago, but I've never seen, like, 6 at the mall. You know what I'm saying? Like, that baffles my mind.
There's coffee every few feet in Seattle.
How fat are the people in Seattle where they can't go an extra 20 steps? Because people here are pretty fat.
Seriously?
Yeah, how many do you think? Ask my wife how many coffee shops are in Ballard. Like Ballard's, when I say Ballard, it's like a place the size of, I don't know, like 10, 12 square blocks, maybe, the downtown area.
There's at least 1 or 2 a block.
Yeah, I'd say like 10, 12 coffee shops within 10 or 12 blocks of each other.
I'm moving to Seattle.
Like there's three coffee shops in a row. Yeah, only three of the 10 count, of course, my wife says. My wife is a barista. She has very strong opinions on coffee.
Those are good odds, though, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, yeah. I consider myself quite the coffee connoisseur, so maybe we can do a coffee cast sometime. I mean, it is called Comic Roast, you know what I'm saying?
That was kind of the original gestation of the name, I guess, so.
Well, that was from the store I want to open, a comic book coffee house.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. It would do well here, man.
I think it would do well just about anywhere. The problem is I'm poor, so I can't open it.
Yeah, poverty precludes you from doing a lot of fun things other than buying comics once a week, which is probably more not than something
I,
that's...
It's more than I should, but
not
that's
a good
all
investment,
I do.
But whatever. I just wanted to ask real, did you read the afterword at the first issue of The Violent?
No, I didn't. I should.
Okay.
I know that's kind of the good thing about issue comics is that you get the letters and all the afterwords and stuff, which you don't generally get in the trades.
Right.
Yeah, so I missed that.
I was just curious because, like, honestly, when I read that first issue, I was like, yeah, this is okay. But then it was that afterword where he went on that long tangent about income inequality that really made me marry the two and go, okay, this book's actually something I want to stick with now. I was just curious because I remember you mentioned something about Seattle and the whole, you know, 90,000 a year, you know, developments and so on. And I mean, that's what's happened in Chicago. Like, I went down to the city proper, like, a couple months ago to meet up with some friends, and I generally avoid the city at this point. And I was like, I don't even recognize this place anymore. It's Potbelly. It's Chipotle. It's nothing about the city that's the city anymore. It's all people from the northern suburbs whose dad bought them a condo because their dad's a lawyer.
And the northern suburbs of Chicago are rich, just letting you know.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, Deerfield, Lincolnshire, all those were like...
Willamette, Kenilworth.
not places I probably would have played shows in.
They used to do a lot of shows up there, but they were more emo and, like, pop punk and weird. There was a weird contingent of, like, gutter punks in, like, the richest suburbs in Chicago. It was super weird.
That's kind of awesome.
But they had some pretty fun basement shows that back in the day. So I didn't want to use back in the day, but that just came right out of my mouth.
Yes, it did. And it's recorded.
We're old enough.
Yeah.
It was 25 years ago, so it is kind of back in the day.
Yeah, actually, one of the best shows I ever saw was in a cramped basement in Winnetka. Is that
the Resurrection in Lifetime?
Yes, it was. Resurrection when the 7-inch had just come out.
And oh, that 7-inch is so good.
That was a super good show.
I missed that show.
The only basement show
for it too.
That I remember is Guilt. Guilt and, I think, Endive.
No, this is like years earlier.
No, I'm not saying that.
Like, and you were actually at that Resurrection
this
show.
Happened.
I don't remember. I don't even know who the fuck Resurrection is.
McGregor's for the,
I remember Prophets of Rage in the backyard. I remember a 15-month pregnancy at the farm.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh,
hey,
back in the day.
Your words will not leave me scarred.
Oh, man. I didn't write them. I just pretended to scream them through my bass.
All right, I'm gonna let Brian bring in the next one because I didn't read it, but I think it's a stupid. I think it's a stupid idea anyway because I kind of have the gist of it in my head.
You pretty much got it. It's Walmart is now gonna start selling comics and graphic novels.
What Walmart needs to do is just go away.
Well, I when I saw this, and I guess they're gonna test market it in 50 stores, but then they plan to expand it to all their stores. I was just curious if anyone had any thoughts on how, if this is bad or is this really bad, and how is this different than what Amazon is doing?
I don't think it's going to have any adverse effect.
Yeah, it's not going to do. Nobody is going to be like, my comic book store is cool, but Walmart's hip.
Into reading comics, and then they'll probably just end up going to the shops. Then.
Yeah, if anything, they'll carry a couple of, like, popular titles, but that's it. Like, people aren't going to drop their comic stores to go to Walmart.
Well, it said here that they've already got a deal in place with Viz Media to carry a whole section of manga. They've got a deal with, I guess it's Simon & Schuster that handles Marvel and DC's trades. And they said they're currently in negotiations with Diamond to carry everything else. So they plan to carry everything from Marvel, DC, all the way down to Image, Boom, Archaea, etc.
It doesn't even make any sense.
They want
Diamond distributes Fantagraphics now too, so they could potentially have like Love and Rockets and Hate and 8-Ball and that stuff in there too. They and won't, but I'm saying they could.
They, you never know if they really are serious about this. They could. And the thing that, the one aspect that slightly intrigues me is if I was ever, for some strange reason, out and about at 2:30 in the morning, I'm like, I feel like buying a new graphic novel right now. I think I'll pop in at Walmart. I won't, because I can exhibit a little bit of patience, but, I mean, somebody else might go, man, I really want to read the new Captain America trade. I bet you Walmart has it.
I can't believe we're having this conversation right now. Like that, I'm about... baffled.
I just want to know the odds on them carrying Bitch Planet. I don't think it's pretty high.
Dill, if they can get a censored version of it, I'm sure they would probably...
go there, and you, that's where you see the exclusive rights to the Big Man Plans trade.
Right. Have you read that, Damien, yet?
What, which thing?
Big Man Plans?
No.
Oh, have you read four Low? Issues, dude. You should probably check that out.
Yeah. No, I haven't. I'll check that out.
Yeah, you gotta check out Low. I couldn't see them carrying that one either.
I think that one's a little more vague in terms of being for adults. It's not as blatantly violent
well,
and
yeah,
aggressive.
It's not blatant, yeah, not until you open it up and see, like, whoa, yeah, it actually is.
I'm just saying, when you got something like Big Man Plans with a half-naked dwarf swinging dick beating yeah. somebody with a crowbar, that ain't Walmart material.
Eating out Jackie Brown.
Right.
Well, to be, like, semi-serious on that note.
I was serious.
No, I'm just saying, they carry Grand Theft Auto in games and movies like that, so I could see a situation where they have a glass-encased section of books where they're, like, adults only, you know, see a store associate for assistance.
I don't know. I think they should just stick with their bread and butter, which is cheap TVs and fake food.
Well, that's the thing, too. They're trying to be Whole Foods now as well.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
What? Are they carrying, like decent food now? Or
there, I guess there was this competitor for Whole Foods back in the 90s called Wild Oats. I seem to remember going to a store of theirs.
Yeah.
I think it was actually in St. Louis. I think they bought out Wild Oats, and they bought the rights to everything that they ever had that was, what do they call it, like store brand? They essentially bought the rights to the Wild Oats store brand products, and they've rebranded them for Walmart, I guess. Because they're trying to... They said that their two main... I mean, this is a couple of years back. They said their two main targets to eliminate, and they pretty much said eliminate, was Whole Foods and Michaels. They wanted to destroy both of them.
Is Michaels really much of a threat to Walmart?
I know, right?
They want to rule the arts and crafts world as well as...
Next is Joann Fabrics.
Yeah, what about Hobby Lobby? Yeah, what about stupid Joann Fabrics? What about all them dumps?
They got to take out one at a time to be extremely visceral. They can't just...
Whatever, dude. Walmart needs to just stop and just go away. They're not going to... Like, they're trying to be everything because they want everything to close. Sweet. So you have no choice but to shop at Walmart, and it'll never happen. I'll die before I shop at Walmart again.
So,
really?
So the
so you go pay full like a more at Target.
Dude, I love Target.
Yeah, but you're paying more.
I don't care. At least I know it's real.
How is it? What do you mean real? What your food. Detergent's more real than the detergent when I buy it at Walmart?
Who says I'm paying more? Who says I'm buying the expensive stuff? I buy the
I'm
purple
just buying
stuff.
Era. What, so, is Era different at Target?
Era?
Is
dude, they stopped making that in the 80s. That's why Walmart can sell it so cheap.
No, they
you
don't.
Are listening to the grocery roast.
You're not making any sense, what I'm saying.
All I was saying is, like, who here is excited to buy their comics at Walmart? That's all.
I would not buy my comics at Walmart, so that doesn't even...
I don't find myself in one more
anyone,
than every
any,
5 years.
Anyone who's into comics like we are won't buy them at Walmart, so we don't have to worry about that aspect of it.
Probably so. I just think that the just for one example, the proliferation of record stores and movie stores have dwindled considerably because of stores like Walmart and because of stores like Best Buy. So that's why when I see this, I go, oh, please no.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's not a bad article. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, Barnes & Noble started to try to save themselves. They've started to, like, you know, press their own records, too. I mean, I don't know if that's going to really do it for them.
News to me.
You know, honestly, I go in there, and I see weird people buying vinyl now.
Well, they have like exclusive to Barnes and Noble vinyl now. I can't tell you what they are, but there's things that are that people kind of actually care about that are you can only get there.
Well, here's what
the
I
playing,
see.
The Playing Enemy repress?
No one cared about that.
Here's what I see with Barnes and Noble is when you still had Borders, Barnes and Noble really jumped on with having their e-readers, the Nooks. So that's what helped them pull ahead and eventually win out over Borders. But now, in that same interview or whatever I was listening to on NPR where they were talking about the Amazon bookstores, they were also talking about they're seeing the trends now in the last year or two fade away from the e-readers and back to regular books because people like to hold something tangible. And they're seeing actual book sales are on the rise again. So, and I think now that Barnes & Noble doesn't make their Nooks anymore, they've partnered with Samsung to make them for them. So they're going to probably, they're making those cheaper, they're selling those cheaper, and now they can focus more on the books again, which win-win for me because I always preferred books anyway.
Yeah, I don't like getting digital comics or...
Yeah, I agree.
Or video games too when it comes to that. Like I want the actual disc. If I'm shelling out $60, I want the plastic disc.
Yeah, people are always like, "Why don't you just download it?" Like because if it sucks, I want to be able to sell it. That's why.
Yeah. If it doesn't if it stinks and I get it digitally, I'm stuck with it.
Yeah, I don't even care. $20 is $20, you know what I'm saying? Like
right.
There's my dish soap. Go.
No, but still, like I agree with you with that. Like if you're giving out your hard-earned money, you want to see the end result of what your money bought.
Yeah. I mean, I've had my fair share of ebooks, but let's face it, I've downloaded them all off the internet for $0. So womp womp.
Yeah, it's the thing between digital and physical copies. I know that's not exactly what we're going here, but like I was trying to tell someone this the other day, like if you ask me like, "Oh, have you seen I don't know, fucking Minority Report or some movie, you know, whatever." And I'm like, "No, I haven't seen it." Like, "Oh, you gotta see it. It's really great. Here, borrow my copy." Like, if they hand you a copy, that's kind of a cool thing. Like, you're like, "Oh, okay, cool. I'll go watch this movie." But if they're like, "Oh, you should download this link or you should go watch the stream," it's like, now you've given me homework. Like,
hey, you can watch it on your phone for free. Yeah, no thanks.
Wait, now you've given me hurdles that I have to jump over just to watch this.
Yeah, like, "Oh, I hope your fucking internet is good enough to be able to stream this. So here, check this out."
I've had that where people are like, "Oh yeah, here's the link." I'm like, "You know what? Just forget it." I'm like, "I'm not."
Yeah, but by the time I get through all my email and all that crap, and the last thing I want to do is go search for something else. I'd rather just reach over and grab a book. Same with comics. I mean, when I get an issue, I have a lot of friends who don't read as many comics but really like them. If I sign something really great, I usually just give them to my friend. Like, "Here you go, man. Check this out." He would never in a million years, you know, download it or something, but right. I can be like, "Here, you know, you should read this. It's really great. Here's Bitch Planet, you know, or here's, you know, the first Zero collection. You should really read these things. They're really awesome." And they will. And then I hear back from him. We get to like share it, and it's a cool experience. But if I ever like said like, or anytime anyone's ever been like, "Oh, you got to check out this link. It's a, you know, Vimeo documentary or something," even if it's something like that, I never watch it. I just never do. It's a huge pain in the ass. I have only so many hours in my day, and I try to stay away from screens as much as I can in my life at this point, so.
Yeah, I mean, I sit in front of one all day at work, so, like, I mean, just as we're sitting here, I just got a text to a YouTube video. Like, yeah, I'm not going to watch that, especially on my phone. If you wanted me to have an even slight chance of looking at it, email it to me so I can look at it on a computer screen. You know, like,
yeah,
whatever. It's just annoying. But, wow, where?
So Walmart bad, then.
I mean, useless to me. The nearest Walmart's like 40 miles away, and I'm not gonna go.
The closest one to me is a couple blocks away. I don't mind it. I mean, I go there and I get like all my like kitchen cleansers and dishwashing soap and sponges and stuff like that. So,
comics are just the next logical step. Zing!
Absolutely.
Let's see. I need a bucket, a mop, and the new Captain America. Do this.
Well, that wouldn't happen since I don't read Captain America, so.
You should.
Well, I don't want to.
Well, you're fired.
Anyway.
You're fired.
All right. I think that's about done for the stories, so I guess we can.
Yeah.
You said you wanted to talk about something earlier at the top of the show. Does anyone remember what that was?
Did I say that?
No. Damien, you mentioned you wanted to.
Oh, what? It might have been the. I might have been excited about getting to the Amazon thing. I can't remember.
There was a person, I believe, you wanted to bring up.
Oh, yeah, John Bunch.
Oh yeah. Right.
See? That's why I'm the host.
Yeah. Right, you're good.
Right, okay, so I'll let you explain what happened.
I'm sad, man. That's,
Well, I told Damien about it. I go, hey, Damien, you know John Bunch passed away? He's like, huh?
Yeah, I had no, I...
Oh, that dude!
Yeah, because... It's just one of those things, like, you don't think about, you know, I think about those guys dying as much as I think about me dying. Well, I actually think about myself dying all the time, but, I mean, I think about, you know, like I imagine that I probably have at least another, I don't know, 8 or 9 months, you know?
I see it.
I agree with you. It bummed me out, too, and not, like, to the point of, like, you know how, like, when Kurt Cobain died, people crying and... You know, they're going to his grave or whatever. I mean, that's just hokey. But, I mean, like, with him passing away, I'm kind of more, like, because of the way he passed away, like, they found him dead.
Now, not to be, like, total ignorant moron here, but who are we talking about?
The singer of Reason to Believe.
Sensfield.
Oh.
Scott would have known him more from like Sensfield or Further Seems Forever or whatever that band he was in for a little bit.
Yeah, Further Seems Forever. I was definitely a Reason to Believe record. That first LP was
awesome. It's still awesome.
I just listened to it the other day.
So did I, dude. I kicked it on when I found out he passed away. I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to. I jammed it, listened to it all the way through, and I'm like, yep. Awesome then, awesome now.
It's great. That 7-inch is great. It's all good. I wasn't a huge Sensfield fan. I never heard Further Seems Forever, so I don't know what they sounded like. But he
very similar to Sensfield.
Yeah, he was one of those guys. He's just one of the guys like us that just died. And I'm realizing like, oh, that's gonna start happening all the time. Like pretty soon we'll be like, oh, did you hear Pete Kohler died from Sick of It All?
Well, he was only 45 though.
Yeah, he was young. 45.
Yeah, I wasn't huge on Sensfield. They had like one or two songs that I remember liking. But no, I actually bought that When Reason Sleeps Demons Dance album on a total whim. I saw it. I was at the record store. I had enough money to buy more than one record, and this record store only had a handful of records in that genre. And I just looked at the back, and I'm like, oh, it's on Workshed or...
Nemesis.
Okay, same difference. But I was just like, oh, it's on Nemesis. I'm like, oh, it's probably good. Brought it home, and actually the first time I heard it, I'm like, oh, this is bad. But then I remember, like, as it kept going, I'm like, I really like the music, though. And then by, like, the third or fourth listen, I'm like, no, I actually love this band. Changed my mind.
Yeah, it grows on you. I bought it when I was on tour in Chicago in 1993.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't remember what store it was, but it was some street that I felt like had a record store like every 10 feet.
Probably
Reckless.
It was probably Broadway then, because there was like a record store every other door back then.
Yeah.
Because Reckless was there, Wax Trax was there. I think Dr. Wax was like around the corner. I think that Satanic record store was around the corner as well. That Witchcraft, whatever the hell it was.
I think I went in there.
I always wanted to go in there, and every time I walked by, it was closed, so I just never went in.
That's probably... I used to buy a lot of, like, Death in June and Current 93 and, like, that kind of, like, neo-folk stuff, too.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. I just love that stuff, and that's probably why I would have gone in that store, because I bet they would have had all that World Serpent stuff.
I do want to mention one thing, though. I happen to listen to some podcasts. Hold on. Can you hold on a second? Hold on.
Talk amongst yourselves.
This makes for good listening.
I just muted you guys. Did you hear that?
No, we didn't.
Okay. No, it's my son who's like running around like a crazy man and like mocking me.
No, he's just testing boundaries, man.
So he's joining the group.
Mark Miller, Brian, put up a link or something on the Facebook 90s hardcore discussion page. It's something about, he was asking if like anyone knew any other podcasts, hardcore podcasts, and he's like, the only one I know of is this one, and it's called The Smokin' Word, and it's done by Hoya and Freddie Madball.
That's awesome.
Yes. So I had to listen to it because, like, one of the latest episodes said something like, a day at the zoo with a vegan. I was like, I wonder what this is about. So I'm listening to it, and he goes, he's like, yeah, man, I got my main man here, Carlos from Earth Crisis.
Carlos. That sounds pretty good.
Called him Carlos.
Okay, that sounds pretty good.
I'm not going to lie, I'm probably not going to listen to it.
No, but it was still hilarious.
No, the podcast in my mind is probably much better than what it is in reality. But...
Yeah, exactly.
It was still funny how they kept calling him Carlos.
I would love if there was, like, every episode there was, like, a Vinny Stigma story, too.
Is there enough stories to make...
There's the one about the wireless guitar.
Well, no, because Hoya's telling Carl, he's like, yeah, we're into green plants, too. The kind you smoke.
This guy is easily amused.
Yeah. That's...
Oh, my God. I thought it was hilarious.
Anyway.
Anywho. I thought it was funny. But, yeah, going back to John Bunch, yeah. I guess they don't know how he passed away. They found him in his home.
It's a bummer, man.
Yeah, so, but, like, all those old California bands have been, like, you know, I guess giving their condolences. Like, I even saw, like, some from, like, some of the dudes from Head First.
Oh, man, I remember Head First.
I feel like I need to go jogging now before it's too late.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
You know, I was going to mention when you made the comment about I got like 8 or 9 more months, I was like, sometimes when I work, I say stuff like that, and everybody at work's like, why are you so morbid all the time? I'm like, I don't know. So I'm just glad to know that's not just me.
Oh, dude, it was like a couple of weeks ago, this lady at work just, I don't know how she didn't know, but she found out I didn't have health insurance. And she's like, oh my God, what if you have a heart attack? What are you going to do? I'm like, oh, I'm probably going to fucking die. That's what I'm going to do. Like, what do you mean?
Insurance is going to be pretty much null and void.
She's like, you don't want to go to the doctor? I'm like, no. I'm like, well, let me think. Stay alive with 6 figures of medical bills or just, you know, kind of go quietly into the night. I mean, let's face facts here. My life isn't that awesome.
Yeah, work's not fun, so.
Right.
Just saying.
I make just enough money to get back here tomorrow. So, you know, what's the point? So, anywho, enough about my depressing life.
Now we can get on to things that
depressing canceled foods.
Play into the unhealth of us.
Yeah.
Overrated, underrated, discontinued snack foods. My overrated, I pick the drink because whatever, I do what I want. And I never understood the fascination with Ecto Cooler.
I don't even know what that is.
That was the stupid high C based on the green ghost from Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Slimy or whatever the hell his name was. Like, that's still that's like still a thing, and I don't know why. Well, didn't it like have like an orange flavor, but it was green, and people loved it? And
kind of looked like pus.
I never understood why it was like such a popular thing. So, boom, overrated.
All right.
Nailed it.
I picked Clark Dark Bars.
For overrated?
Yes. Because when you're vegan and you can't have anything, like Clark Dark Bars seem like a great idea. But then when you decide, not anymore, and then you start eating everything, and then you go back to have a Clark Dark Bar, you're like, whatever.
Snickers are way better.
Yeah, Snickers are much better. They just are.
Or whatchamacallits.
Or everything.
Well, it was funny. When we were at our nephew's birthday last week, my sister had a bowl of miniature candy bars, and it was filled with Milky Ways, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, Milky Ways are what's left after someone eats all the Snickers. Like, where are the Snickers for this bowl? Because this thing is just full of Milky Ways, and, like, everyone was laughing, and she's like, I don't get it. I'm like, who the hell buys Milky Ways? Like, what is wrong with you? Whatever.
That is weird. That's always, like, the filler in those packs of variety packs.
It's probably left over from Halloween.
Probably.
That's the kid who knows.
For many Halloweens.
Yeah, and, you know, to spite her, I only ate, like, 4 of them.
There you go. Loud and clear.
Right. Christopher, do you have an overrated?
Yeah, you know what? I was never a big fan of those pies with the pudding in them.
The Hostess pudding pies?
Well, or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle ones.
Yeah, I saw the package for those when I was doing my research for this. That just looked weird. I don't remember ever seeing them, but that sounds weird.
I remember, like, the architecture of those things were such that the second there was any sort of crack in them, the entire thing exploded. So, like, the first bite just, it was like a pudding-filled balloon. So you take a bite and just everywhere. It was like a giant fuck you to every parent at the time.
Yeah.
Here you go. You want to get this at the 7-Eleven while you're getting gas? Yeah, in the back seat is going to be a fucking disaster.
But great if you're laying down on the couch, though.
Ew.
Yeah, or you have one of those, like, funnels they make dogs wear after operations on your head.
Just ooze it into my mouth.
Yeah, so.
All right, Damien, you got overrated?
I'll go over. Am I overrated? I don't know how well loved it was, so I don't know if it's technically overrated, but I'd say Orbitz soft drink. If you remember that, it was made, I think it was made by the clearly Canadian people. So it was like basically flavorless water with these tiny, like opaque beads of stuff that floated in it.
Oh my God. I remember that. I do remember that.
Late 90s. It wasn't around too long.
I liked clearly Canadian though.
I miss clearly Canadian, but yeah, I remember that stuff. Orbitz. Now that you describe it, I do.
Yeah. Orbitz with a Z because it was street.
Okay.
It had crap. Yeah.
But like by the beads were like the flavor. So you could just drink it like normal people would drink liquid and it would glide past your tongue and your stomach. Like that's how most people drink a drink. I think Orbitz, you're supposed to kind of like drink it and like sort of, you know, masticate the liquid a little bit to get the beads to like open up.
Gross.
It's disgusting. And I use the word masticate just to kind of like emphasize that.
It worked. So
yeah.
Thank you for that.
You were welcome.
Underrated. I have a couple because I wasn't sure which one I wanted to pick.
Too, man.
But I'm going to have to narrow it down right here, right now, and I'm going to go Coke Black.
I've never heard of Coke Black.
What? Coke, you used that one before.
Coke Black, they put out only a couple of years ago, and it only lasted a year or so before. Like, over in Europe, I believe, it's still like a popular thing, but here it didn't catch on.
Was it coffee Coke or whatever?
It was. It was coffee. It was Coke with coffee in it. And I remember when I heard about it, I immediately went to the store looking for it, and I found it. I'm like, oh, my God. And I tried it. I'm like, this is kind of gross.
Yeah, because they just got you hooked on heroin.
But then, like, after I mean, it was a little weird at first, but, like, I was like, I don't know about this. But that time I finished it, I'm like, oh, my God, I need more. Oh, my God, I need more. And I drank whenever I could find them. I would get them, but they discontinued it, like, a year later. So I never got to fulfill my Coke Black dreams.
It's funny that you mention it, that it's still big in Europe and not here, because there was an infographic in the Tribune a few weeks ago about how McDonald's is changing their menu to kind of keep up with the times.
Saw that.
And they showed, like, these items that are real big in certain regions of the country and in the world, and how they're retrofitting them for America. And they said, like, the grilled chicken wrap is really big over in Europe somewhere, and they're saying... And the graphic had, like, the region where they first introduced the wrap in Europe, and they're explaining how to make it appealing to Americans. So they're like, add ranch. And I was like, that's so hilarious, because it's super true that Americans are like, you can put ranch on ice cream. And they're like, hell yeah.
Yeah, I never understood that. Like, that's only been a thing for about maybe the last 10 years or so, maybe 15 years. But before that, like, ranch wasn't this big thing. I never got on that train, and I don't understand it.
It wasn't so much the ranch thing. It was the Americans are fat thing that I thought was super hilarious.
Which it was either ranch or bacon. One of them was going to get thrown on there.
Which I felt the next step is to put Gaviscon in a T-shirt gun and just fire it at everybody. Nothing?
I don't know what that is.
Acid reflux, those giant like cherry and orange-flavored pills you do when you have like stomach upset and gastric bypass nonsensory.
No clue.
Not gastric bypass, but like
acid reflux. It's like a hardcore Tums, right?
Yes. Tums, Gaviscon, Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah, I think I've needed Tums like 4 times in my entire life, so I don't...
Everybody I work with has a bottle in their desk.
That's weird.
So he's like, oh, my stomach's bothering me again. 6 hands go up. I got some.
Oh, man.
Wow.
The people.
Do you have a stressful job?
It is, but I mean, the people I work with, their diet's hilarious to me. Like, for me, and I eat horribly, I look around, I'm like, you're eating that? Did you kill that in the parking lot? Oh, my God.
That's great.
Underrated, Brian, go.
Black Pepper Jack Doritos.
Never heard
of that. I remember
that.
They were around for a year or so, maybe 5-6 years ago, and they were amazing. They took the concept of Cool Ranch and made it way cooler, and then they took them away.
Huh. Man. I used to work at this bar called Bimbo's in Cha-Cha in Seattle, and I worked in the kitchen, and we made something called Stoner Nachos, which is just a giant plate of nachos with Doritos as the
wow.
the chip base. And for a while, we had the Cool Ranch ones, and that went super well. I bet those Pepper Jack ones would have gone even better.
Oh, those were so good.
I am so glad I didn't live there then, because I would be way fatter right now.
It's dangerous. I can't eat that stuff anymore.
I mean, I kind of like a nacho guy. Like, I love nachos, so I try not to get them all the time. But, like, if I knew something like that happened, like, I'd be making special trips, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. People came from all over for those things.
If I had known, I'd be on my way there right now.
Yeah, they're still on the menu. They don't have the Cool Ranch ones.
I'll just get off a plane and be like, show me Stoner Nachos.
You guys come out here, man. I'll show you everything. It's great.
I'm game.
Stoner Nachos, Amazon books, coffee everywhere.
I wonder if it's too late for us to try to get a podcast on Emerald City Comic Con. Probably. Being as how it's in like 2 months.
Oh, I would imagine so.
I'm
yeah.
too poor to make a 2 month trip. You know what I'm saying? I need way more notice. Like, I'll give you like a 6 year lead time. Like, I'll be
six
there.
Okay.
I'll be there in 2020. I gotta walk. You still there, Chris, or did we lose you?
No, I'm here. I just hit mute.
Sweet. Underrated.
In the late 90s, Frito-Lay's made Tostitos, but they were baked ones. They had baked Tostitos, but they had salsa and cream cheese flavor and nacho quesadilla flavor.
That's interesting.
And those were both really good.
I'm into it.
They sound good.
I know, right?
They were awesome.
So Canada has a lot of these kind of chips, right? Do you think you guys' closeness to Toronto has anything to do with... You seem to get all the really cool chips. Because I know that's a big thing about Canada. Every time I go there, I'm just like, oh my God, you guys have ham-flavored potato chips. That's amazing.
I don't think we get any cool chips. Well,
are you even that close to Toronto? I feel like maybe... I mean, I'm super close to Vancouver.
We're closer to Toronto than you are.
I mean, map, it's only a little bit. But, I mean, to get from here to the Canadian border is probably a good 10 to 12 hours.
No.
Oh, okay,
it's like five.
No, it's not 10 to 12.
Traverse City is like 5.5 hours.
I was going to say, well, I'm just saying it for us to get from.
If we go through Michigan, it should only take us.
Well, I was going through Minnesota. Yeah, going through Michigan, okay, it's probably closer. I've ever been to the border was up in Minnesota. We were in the northern woods, and that was a 10-hour drive.
I'm totally wrong. Vancouver is weird. It's not like the rest of Canada, so we don't. I mean, they have that stuff there. Like when you go to a Denny's. And you order a plate of French fries. They're like, and gravy? Like, it's an assumption that you're also going to get gravy with your French fries, which is fucking fantastic, by the way.
Like, when you say gravy, what do you mean by
gravy? Like a big bowl of, like, beef or gravy.
Yeah, but I think Canada, when you go to Canada, when I went to Canada, especially, like, on the Niagara Falls side, it felt more like Europe.
Well, yeah, especially if you get into Quebec, then you're like, you really feel like you're in Europe. Like, it felt like... I've been to France a couple of times, and it definitely felt exactly like Quebec, except for you could walk home. You know, that was like if you had to.
Right.
Yeah, I've been to Indiana. Nailed it.
You can walk home from there, too.
No, you can't.
You won't make it. Yeah, I haven't really gone many. I've been to, you know, Indiana, Ohio, and then I took a road trip from here to California back in 2001. But other than that, I don't really go anywhere.
Well, everywhere else sucks, don't we?
But yeah, I really like those chips. And I really like this one cereal called Apple Raisin Crisp that they don't make anymore.
I remember Apple Raisin Crisp.
That cereal was good.
What's what?
I got nothing.
Your kid agrees.
Okay, Damien, you got an underrated?
Yeah, I had a couple. I'm trying. It's in between the Zott's Power Pack and OK Soda.
And which one?
OK Soda.
Never heard of that.
OK Soda. I'll go with that one. OK Soda was a soda made by Coke in the early 90s, like maybe 90 or if not late 80s. And it was really strange tasting. It kind of tasted like orange soda and Coke mixed together. But there was something about it that was kind of delicious. But the packaging design was awesome. And it was designed by Charles Burns, Gary Panter, and Daniel Klaus.
Really?
So you had like each can was a little different. So you'd have like the Charles Burns cans that had all these weird, like creepy black hole looking people on them. And then the Daniel Klaus ones, same kind of thing, but with like, you know, his style. And the Gary Panter ones were just a nightmare. It was awesome.
I love
and
Daniel Klaus.
Really strange commercials. It was great.
You know, when I was doing my research for this, I came across those. And now that I'm Googling those cans, I remember looking at that. But I have never seen those in my life outside of like yesterday and today. That's weird.
Yeah, they were a lot of fun. I think they had something in them. They had like a wood pulp or something as one of the ingredients. There's a really weird ingredient, and I remember calling the Coke company and asking them like what that was, and they tried to explain that it was some sort of like a botanical extract or something, and I remember just being freaked out by it.
It's probably why it got discontinued. It's probably your fault. Cool. They pulled it off the shelf because you told them it was weird.
I probably did. That was me. I was the guy.
I was a little surprised nobody went with PB Crisps, but, you know, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I'm surprised you guys didn't go with WWF ice cream bars.
I thought about it. They were pretty good, but I like my coffee and I like my cola, so coffee black seemed like a logical choice. Okay.
Sounds gross.
Best thing ever. For some strange reason, I can't explain it, but I've had a weird fixation with drinking scotch over the last couple of years. I feel like, as a man, I need to be drinking scotch. You know what I'm saying? So,
I do.
When I was at my sister's, I was talking to some of her friends, and, you know, we used to have a book club, and we used to, like, get together and do movie nights and game nights and all this stuff. So she's like, oh, how come you never come over anymore? I'm like, because you don't invite me. And she's like, okay, Friday, come over, we'll do like trivia night or something. I'm like, okay, fine, but we usually drink wine. So I'm like, how about if we drink scotch? And they're like, that's fine by me. And because I'm like, I always want to do it, but it's so expensive, and I don't want to buy it and have it suck and then waste my money. But if you will drink it with me, let's do it. You know, so I went out yesterday, got myself a $40 bottle of scotch, and tomorrow I get to dive into it. So I'm pretty pumped about that.
Yikes.
Yeah, I better be good, because I made the plunge, so.
Couldn't find, like, $6 scotch somewhere?
There's no such thing.
Oh, my God.
Some Ripple.
But I heard Damien got a little excited. You got a little excited about when I said scotch, so.
Yeah, I think my best thing ever might be me thinking about scotch right now.
Okay, so as apparently you're some kind of a connoisseur, so what are your thoughts on the Glenmorangie 10-year?
I'm not a connoisseur. I'm just someone who likes scotch a lot.
Oh, okay.
Like I there's bad scotch. I've certainly had it, and I've you know, I've learned what to avoid. Not that I still didn't drink the entire bottle. I just... anything with Glen at the beginning is probably a pretty safe bet.
Well, most of the interwebs research that I've done basically say this is a good starter off for people because it's kind of a lighter, more citrusy, vanilla-y type of scotch.
Sounds perfect.
So, you know, I don't want to go with the hardcore old man stuff that's going to, like, you know, burn my throat.
Like Old Panther?
Right, yeah. Like, I don't need none of that. So I'm trying, you know, I don't want to mess it up, I guess. I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited.
I have a soft place in my heart for Johnny Walker Blue. My grandpa, that was what he'd always buy. And I think that's 25-year scotch. I think black is, like, the crazy stuff, but...
My only problem with Johnny Walker was a while back... I used to go to the bars for about a whole 4 minutes. It lasted, but I would go to the same place, and I got to know the bartender really well and the owner really well. Well, the owner drank straight up scotch on the rocks, and he just, like, one day, he's like, hey, I need another scotch, and then she poured it, and he left. So she brought it to me, like, hey, I can't dump this. It's like a $15 glass of scotch. And I'm like, okay, I'll take it. And I was like, oh, my God, this is terrible. Because all I did was mix it in with my whiskey sour. So that means it's probably mistake number one. But
That was.
So, but I know he drank Johnny Walker, which is probably why I've always been so turned off by Johnny Walker, because it was kind of gross. But when you mix it with a whiskey sour, I mean, I guess it's you get what you ask for, I guess. But
yeah, no, if you want a Scotch cocktail, a good old man one is the Rusty Nail, which is just Scotch and Drambuie over ice, and Drambuie is just a Scotch liqueur. So it kind of is like a sweet sort of Scotch drink, and it's a makes you feel like you're from the 1960s. It's great.
I like that because I just been watching Mad Men. So
I have to start drinking again.
Well, I'm only saying like my whole like. Again, I've read a lot about it. I haven't done it, but I'm going to just drink it neat. And if it's too bad or too harsh, I'm going to add a little water. And if it's still a little too harsh, I'm going to throw a little ice in there. And if I don't like it after that, then I guess I'm screwed. But
yeah,
I know
you
that
drink
like,
as fast as you can.
Well, like at my sister's birthday party a couple of years ago, I forget what the hell was in it, but you know, I ordered an Irish coffee, and it had no coffee in it. It was just a bunch of different whiskeys mixed together. And it was really strong. And I was like, whoa. But after the ice started melting a little bit, I was like, oh, my God, this is delicious. Give me another one. But, you know, it's only a Christmas drink, so they don't have it year-round. So, like, I can't go and look at it to see what was in it. But I don't know. I feel like I should be maturing into my old age and drinking fine scotch every now and then. That's just how I feel.
Like Michael Fassbender in Inglourious Basterds.
Or if it goes really well, maybe I'll go the Don Draper route and do some rye. I don't know. We'll see.
There you go. Try it all.
That's
all
what I'm
good.
Saying. It's just really expensive. That's the only problem.
Yeah, it is.
So we'll see. I'll have a report next week.
I would definitely choose comics over scotch, but I think scotch is pretty wonderful stuff.
Yeah, but what about comics and scotch? What?
It's a fantastic combination.
I'm just saying, you get a nice little dram of scotch while you're reading through your comics.
It's good, man. And like a bottle of scotch lasts you a lot longer than like a six pack of beer. Like you kill a six pack of beer in a night, but like a bottle of scotch will last you like a good 12 hours longer.
So. Well, yeah. Well, you're not supposed to like, you know, Tommy Gavin that shit. You're supposed to, you know, just pour a small little bit and sip it. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that it's a good experience.
Have you watched that video of, what's his name? Oh God, I'm blanking on the guy's name from Parks and Rec. The guy we all love.
Chris Pratt.
Not Ron Swanson. Who's the guy? The guy who plays Ron Swanson.
Nick Offerman?
Nick Offerman, yeah. There's like a video. It's like a 25-minute video of him drinking scotch in front of a fireplace.
Damn it, Baskets is on!
I could probably watch that.
Do you have to go, Chris?
I know, right?
No, I'm good. Okay.
Are you? Oh, mine's not scotch. Mine's just the new Witchcraft album, Nucleus.
I take it you got it?
I did get it, and it's pretty terrific.
Nice. That put that old like druggy heroin addict guy that did the
oh no you're thinking of Pentagram
yes that's what I was okay never mind
oh yeah dude that guy's great
Bobby Liebling
yeah
did you watch that documentary
no but he was here for like a couple weeks because they played our big festival here and you see him all around like he's just a nut and he's got this like 22-year-old wife it's crazy.
Every time I see an interview with him, he's like, yeah, we're going through a separation again. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, dude.
It's like, dude, that's your wife and your nurse. You got to be cool to her.
Yeah. But they do sound like Pentagram, I guess, a little bit. But, yeah, that's all I got. I just really like their new album, but I really like all their albums. So
I only have the one song that I was able to download for free. But it was a really good song. Nailed it. Are you there, Chris, or are you...
Baskets.
So there's your best thing ever. So I guess it's Damien's shot.
I feel like
Baskets.
Yeah. I feel like I added enough to the Scott's conversation that'll be mine too, because I think that's probably what I'm going to go do later.
Oh, so you've watched it too?
Baskets?
Yeah.
No, I was talking about Scotch.
We're talking about Scotch again. You need to get...
I'm excited to see Baskets.
Schweppes.
In that world, David Cross was here last night, and apparently he was not the best thing ever.
For real?
Still like that far.
Doing stand-up?
I said Schweppes!
He was doing stand-up last night?
Yeah, he was in Seattle, and a couple of my friends went, and they said they didn't know if he was trying to be, like, meta or something, because the jokes were, like, super kind of hacky and weird.
I mean, probably.
He always kind of does weird shit like that, but I didn't see it, so I can't personally speak to it, but I just, that's what I heard. So I thought I'd tell the whole world.
I could see that on occasion, and I mean, I remember he was on The Daily Show not too long ago, and he said this is his first stand-up tour in a long time, so
What was the show he did with, what's his name?
Arrested Development?
No, it was on HBO, like, in the late 90s.
Mr. Show?
Thank you.
Yeah, they just did some more Mr. Shows on Netflix, I think. I didn't watch them yet, but I do plan to.
I'm cute, I just haven't watched it yet.
They just added Better Call Saul to Netflix, too.
Maybe I should watch that with a nice bottle of scotch.
I'm super pumped for tomorrow, so I'm going to have a report next week, I think. And I'll be like, this was the worst thing ever. okay, so I guess that will wrap us up, or else we're just going to keep rambling here. So
I'm just going to postpone my drinking until I'm not single anymore, so it's just not depressing.
So you're never going to drink?
Until I'm not single anymore. So when I get that mannequin or something, then yes, I will start again.
Alrighty. So, as usual, you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Chris at SkateXEdge. You can find Damien at Damien Johnston. And, yes, have a good evening. And, yes, bye.
Find us a way out of here. Find us a way out of here.